Welcome to the Trader's Handbook, a limited podcast series brought to you by IG in partnership with your host, The Finance Ghost. Over the course of our upcoming episodes, we are delving deep into the world of trading, helping both novice and seasoned traders alike navigate this exciting field. Join us as we unravel the intricate strategies and insights that define this dynamic landscape and the beautiful puzzle that is the markets. IG Markets South Africa is an authorized financial services and over-the-counter derivatives product provider. CFD losses can exceed your deposits. Welcome to episode 9 of the Trader's Handbook, my podcast collaboration with IG Markets South Africa. As you've guessed, considering this is episode 9, there are 8 other episodes that you should totally go and sink your teeth into. There really is a lot of great content. We've talked about a lot, Sean. We've done all kinds of things from all the risk stuff, because obviously we try quite hard to remind people that trading is not easy. But of course, we've covered the opportunities as well. We've covered how this stuff works with CFDs, etc. Our last show was actually on index trading and why indices are quite popular choices for traders looking to, you know, take a view on the market and make some money along the way, hopefully. And this week, we're going to do another asset class, or actually a different asset class, you know, because indices are really just a collection of stocks. So we've been focused on stocks for a few shows. An index is just a way to buy a basket of stocks in one shot. Now we're doing something different. We're doing a completely different asset class this week. And that is the wonderful world of Forex, which is probably the asset class that gets the most abused on social media by, shall we say, unscrupulous individuals advertising all kinds of dicey Forex courses and trading signals and all these little things ranging from outright scams through to, you know, just questionable things, but at least maybe done with good intentions. I'm not sure why they do so well. I think it's because maybe people are just familiar with what a rand is and what a dollar is, so it's easier to get them to believe they can make money from that. I've never seen anyone driving around in a Mercedes that says on the side, you know, index trading, follow me for tips, or, you know, Telegram signals on indices or on stocks. I've literally never seen it. So I don't know what it is about Forex, but it does drive me mildly insane to see people getting scammed out of money and promised these crazy returns. If you're listening to this podcast, you're hopefully already very aware that life is not that easy, and that IG Markets South Africa is a proper reputable shop where we focus on a lot of educational stuff on this podcast, and you can go and then, you know, sign up for a demo account on the IG Markets platform, get started in trading, and learn what it's all about. So Sean, welcome to episode 9. Thanks for doing this again with me. Pretty excited to do Forex today.
Oh, great being here.
I think Forex is probably one of the harder asset classes to trade, or at least that's my perception coming in, which might just be a relative lack of understanding versus, you know, my understanding of how equities behave. I think at one point when I was studying, it could have been one of the CFA exams. I actually can't remember. But I distinctly recall reading that Forex goes on what they call a random walk statistically, which kind of tells you that it's not so easy to guess where currencies are going. I would imagine that makes it quite a hard thing to trade, although maybe it just makes it hard to invest in, and maybe it's not so hard to trade. So I'm keen to start there. You know, from your perspective, how hard is Forex relative to some of the other asset classes that are on offer at IG?
Look, I don't think it's harder or easier. I think when you start looking at Forex, a lot of people have the misconception that Forex is a lot more volatile. But if you actually look at individual equities and shares, they're going to move. Remember, we talk about volatility, that range of price movement. They move a lot more than a Forex pair would move over the course of a day or an hour most of the time. So there's a misnomer that Forex market is more volatile. But where the risk comes from in the Forex market, that it carries a higher degree of leverage. And so we've talked about leverage in the past. So, you know, the amount that your profits or losses are magnified in the market. So when you're trading products like indices and Forex, what happens is those profits and losses are magnified by a lot more than what they are in the stock market when you're trading them as derivatives like CFDs, which we'll be talking about today. And so if you don't have a handle on, you know, understanding your exposure in the market, how big your position is, and that when you're putting down a deposit, it's just a fraction of that actual position size, then you can get yourself into trouble in the Forex market. But I think if you can get yourself a handle of understanding leverage and exposure in the market, then I think Forex is quite an interesting one to trade. Because Forex markets, you know, we talked about random walk earlier on, but I think for me, it's, you know, it's really just about looking at, you know, it's the interest rate differentials and the outlook towards interest rates across the different regions, which is going to cause directions within those currency pairs.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, that's an interesting point, right? So it's less volatile in terms of the range of moves. That makes sense. You're not going to see a currency pair move 10% in a day. It's just not going to happen. Whereas stocks can easily do that, actually. But to your point, if there's more leverage, then bearing in mind your deposit is effectively your exposure, the money you've actually put into the market, a smaller move with higher leverage is effectively then still quite a big range, right? I mean, that's basically what you're saying in terms of the risk.
Exactly. Yeah.
So there must be advantages, obviously, to trading Forex, because otherwise it really wouldn't be nearly as popular as it is. I mean, obviously you can go long or short. So it's like equities. You know, you've got to be, I guess, very careful on these pairs, because, you know, long the dollar would be short the rand on a US dollar rand pair. Or at least in terms of, you know, the direction. So actually, I'm quite keen to understand that. You know, are you trading the pair? Are you buying, how does that actually work on the platform? You know, I haven't done Forex trading myself, so I'm curious to understand that, the long and short dynamics of a traded pair. And then, of course, you've got 24-hour trading as well here, right? So, you know, that's another difference to equities, is you can technically do this whenever you want.
Yeah, so like any other trading, like equities, like indices, you can take long or short positions. So you can take a view of the market is going to rise or fall. Like you correctly said, here's where it becomes a little bit trickier, is that you're trading two things. So, I mean, if we look at something that's familiar, I mean, the dollar versus the rand. So in that pair, you always look at the first currency as the base currency. So if we say dollar ZAR, the base currency would be the dollar, and the paired currency would be the rand. So if you're taking a long position on that, essentially what you're saying is you're expecting the dollar to strengthen and the rand to weaken. I think the easy way of looking at that is, it's really always about, take that base currency, so the dollar, and view that as one, right? And then it's how many rands is it costing to, you know, to buy $1? If you think it's going to cost more rands to buy $1, then you're taking a long position, because the value of the dollar is going to go up in rands terms. If you think it's going to cost less rands to buy $1 in the future, then you take a short position. So if that moves down, then your rand would be strengthening and your dollar would be weakening. You did say about the 24-hour market. So that is the interesting thing about the Forex market, is that, yes, it does trade very close to 24 hours, close to 6 days a week. So you have your Asian session, or starts in Australia on a Sunday and a Sunday afternoon, Sunday evening, and then all the way through to the end of the US session, which is about 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock our time, depending on daylight saving.
And so just on those currency pairs, just to finish the point around long and short. So is it the same trade if I'm long USD ZAR as short ZAR USD? If you mirror the pair and you're long one and short the other, is it the same trade effectively?
That would be the same trade, but most platforms, including IG, would only quote it, you know, the major currency first. So it would be dollar ZAR. But yes, in theory, what you're saying is correct.
Okay, so that makes sense. Because otherwise I thought, you've got all these different options, but actually it's the same trade. So they're only going to quote the pair in one style.
Yeah.
Stronger, I think you said stronger currency first. So it would be USD ZAR, and then you either go long or short, depending on what you want.
Yeah, the major currency.
Yeah. Okay, that makes sense. We can only dream of a world in which the ZAR is the major currency. It's going to take more than the GNU to get us there, unfortunately. So, you know, USD ZAR is going to be the way it is forever, unfortunately. So I think moving on from that, you know, are you still actually trading CFDs in this case when you are doing Forex trading, or do you end up owning the foreign currency itself as opposed to like a CFD play on it? How does that actually work?
Okay, so everything IG offers is a type of CFD. So you're not actually taking delivery, essentially, like you would of an asset if you're trading like the futures market or something like that. Or if you're trading shares, you wouldn't take ownership of the actual shares, but you're benefiting from the price movement. So when we talk about the DMA side of things, you know, remember that the Forex market doesn't have a formalized exchange like a stock market. So, you know, when you have direct market access, it's direct market access to the orders on an exchange, like on the Johannesburg Stock Exchange or, you know, on a US stock exchange. So on the Forex market, that exchange and that Forex market is actually dictated by an interbank market, but it's not a formalized exchange. So most brokers won't offer a DMA type offering where you can actually see the market depth for currencies. So it is slightly different, and it's mostly traded OTC. IG does actually have an opportunity where you can see that a product where you can see that interbank market and something called Forex Direct. But the default way that most people trade is OTC, where you're just looking at the primary bid and offer. So you see the quoted price movement, you look at the base currency, that first currency, and you generate a profit and loss in the second currencies. So if you're trading the dollar versus the rand or the dollar ZAR, you are generating profit or loss in ZAR, that second currency, the paired currency or the quote currency. If you're trading something like the euro versus the dollar, the euro is the base currency, the dollar is your paired currency, you'd be generating a profit or loss in that paired currency.
Okay, that makes sense. So thank you for the additional details there. It makes a lot more sense then in terms of how all these pairs work and what you're actually buying, etc. Now, obviously, when you're trading equities, and maybe even indices, you've got a whole lot of things to choose from, like tons, actually. I would guess in the Forex world, you've got very, very liquid pairs, and there will be pairs that are particularly popular. But people are probably not going and trading really unusual Forex pairs on the platform. I mean, I would imagine so. This is not like foreign currency when you're traveling and you need to go and buy some of whatever the local currency is in whatever interesting little frontier market you're traveling to. In the world of trading, I would imagine that it's a set, you know, number of pairs, very, very deep liquidity, very tight spreads, and that's the appeal, right?
Yes, so very, very liquid market. The size of the Forex market actually dwarfs that of stock markets. I think I had a stature when you look at something like the Forex market in particular, I know it's over 6 trillion. You're talking about trillions, and when you're looking about stock exchanges, you're talking about billions. So substantial difference in size, and obviously that equates to a substantial difference in liquidity. Most popular traded are generally the majors, so the currencies that represent major economies around the world. Those majors include things like the US dollar, the British pound, euro, Japanese yen, Australian dollar, and the Swiss franc. Now, other currency pairs that are also quite popular is when you take those majors and you cross them against other exchange rates. Minor currency pairs are also quite popularly traded, and the miners are generally taking one of those major currencies like the dollar or the yen or the British pound and crossing it with still decent sized currencies like the rand. So, you know, dollar ZAR would be considered a minor currency. Euro ZAR would be considered a minor currency pair.
Interesting. Okay, cool. So the rand itself just makes it a minor pair immediately, even though we're such a liquid emerging market currency.
Yeah. And obviously we are the most developed economy in the African continent.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. So moving on to just the reason why you might want to be doing Forex trading. I mean, obviously there's the speculative side, which is you're looking to make a profit. You are looking to take a view on a currency pair moving in a particular direction. And if you get your long or your short right, you make some money. That's the sort of 101 of trading. I would imagine that there's a hedging element as well. So if you're sitting with, I don't know, big offshore exposure in equities, for example, that's going to move for two reasons. It's going to move because of the underlying equity price in that market. And then it's going to move again because of what happens to the currency on translation into, you know, where you are sitting, which in this case is likely South Africa. So that's where, you know, the Forex trading can also be a hedging mechanism. And there you're not trying to make a quick buck here or there. You're actually taking a longer term view of trying to protect a position or lock in some kind of profit and stop it changing based on Forex moves, right?
Yeah, I think you've explained that quite well. But, it doesn't have to just be stock market. You know, most traders are speculative traders when it comes to Forex, you know, the retail traders. But that hedging aspect is a definite use and a common use for the currency. So, you know, if you wanted to buy something in US dollars at a future date, let's say you wanted to, whatever the product is, and you're worried about that, you know, the rand weakening up until the time that you might have to pay for that product, then you might actually just take a currency position, you know, a long dollar ZAR position of equal size. And it's not there to benefit from the change in the currency price, but it's really just to protect that future spend. So, yeah, hedging out possible weakness within the currency.
So when we spoke about index trading last week, we talked about the efficiencies across leverage and costs. I think you've already mentioned on the show that Forex has more leverage kind of built into it in terms of the way trading it actually works. I think let's go into the detail there just on what are the costs of trading Forex. Is it cheaper than trading equities? And then how does it compare to trading an index?
So if you're, for example, taking a euro dollar mini contract, every point that it moves, which is four decimal places to the right, it's also referred to as a pip. One pip is worth, or one point is worth $1. And when you look at the cost of that trade, it's 0.9 points or 0.9 pips. So it's not even a full dollar for the trade. It's 90 cents for that trade, and that's your entry and exit cost combined. So on a mini contract, the value of your position is 10,000 of that base currency, that first currency, which in this situation is a euro. And so if you look at 90 cents as a cost to get 10,000 euros exposure in the market, which is very, very small, it's minimal, and obviously cheaper than most indices, and certainly a lot cheaper than what we're looking at when we're trading single stocks. If you hold positions overnight, then there is interest rate calculations, which is the differential between the two currencies' interest rates, which is also, you know, which is one of the reasons why we don't hold it for extended periods of time, you know, any of the short-term trading, you know, any of the CFD type trades. But it's not a high cost unless you're holding on for, you know, months to years on a position. Yeah, very, very appealing in terms of costs.
And then secondly, just, you know, how extensive is that leverage so that people are aware of what they are buying?
In terms of the leverage restrictions, a lot of regulators in different jurisdictions, like European regulators, the ESMA and FCA, and that have clamped down on leverage because sometimes it got a little bit irresponsible. We had some providers at some stage offering 500 to 1 times leverage and even more than that. Now the standard is generally 30 to 1. So call it, if you're trading stocks and your deposit requirement for a trade is 10%, it's on a currency position, it's, you know, it's just over 3%. So your profits and losses are magnified about 30 times, whereas in shares, does vary between shares, your profits or losses will be magnified by, let's say, 10 times.
Yeah, so that explains it. You know, the costs are relatively low compared to equities and the leverage is relatively high. So, you know, you need less money in order to make money. That's basically why this is appealing. And maybe that takes us all the way back to what I mentioned at the start of the show, which is, you know, why does Forex appeal to people? And, you know, even in a context where it's not done in a positive way and not explained in a positive way, I guess it's that ability to do well. And it's the one or two stories of people who have done well, whether by luck or design, you know, kind of encourages other people to have a go. But I think it is just so important to understand, you know, what you're actually buying. And the best way to do that, I mean, we keep encouraging people to try out a demo account first. I think on the Forex side, even more so, because, you know, you've got to try and figure out how these things move. I would imagine there's lots of technical analysis that goes with it. I mean, yes, interest rate differentials and all of that kind of thing absolutely gives you a good idea of long-term where a currency pair is heading. But, you know, trading is not long-term, it's short-term stuff. So it's going to be news-driven, it's going to be risk on, risk off, it's going to be all that kind of stuff, right? And lots of technicals, I would think, Sean.
Yeah, and I'd agree. So I think there's good technicals reflect the fundamentals. So I think if you, you know, do a top-down approach where you compare the sort of different trends of these currencies, you can see what's the strongest and you can see what's the weakest. And you can see, you know, essentially it will reflect what's happening with interest rates anyway. When we talk about things like the news, like you mentioned, obviously a lot of those news, like when you start looking at inflation, interest rate announcements and, you know, GDP, like the major types of news events, they change sentiment around what's to expect from interest rates going forward. And so you'll see those reflecting on those currency markets as well. And like I say, I'm a technical trader predominantly myself, and I think those good technicals will reflect what's happening, will summarize that information for you if you're using them correctly.
Perfect. So let's get into the technical section of the show. As we've done for the last few episodes, we kind of end off with doing some techs because it's just too much to do in one show. It's a bit overwhelming to listen to. And this week, it sounds like we are sponsored by a shampoo brand because we are doing Head and Shoulders, but it means something completely different in the world of trading. It's a pretty interesting chart pattern. And what's particularly interesting with it is you can use it, you know, in the normal way, or you can invert it actually and then use it to give you the opposite signal. It's quite a lot harder to spot it on an inverse basis, but we'll obviously talk about that now. But if you just use it in the sort of traditional head and shoulders manner, then this is a way to identify potential trouble, right? I mean, this is something going from bullish to bearish, and this is a way to guess how that might play out, isn't it?
All right, so head and shoulders, yeah, very, very common recognized pattern in technical analysis terms. I think the important thing here is that I think we'll give the listeners, we'll give a link to the article when they can actually visualize what we're talking about. But if I can just cover the principles of what we're actually looking at here. We talk about markets that move in trends, you know, and when we talk about a head and shoulders, it's a pattern that generally comes after a trend. And it's a warning sign that upward trend, because it comes after an upward trend, is changing direction. And so if you're trading that type of pattern and you start to see that, you might see that pattern as a warning of, if I'm long in the market, maybe that's a signal that I could be looking at exiting my position. And if I was looking to short the market, maybe I'd wait below a break of a neckline or key support level, because it's showing you when the market's actually moving into a new downtrend to possibly short that market. But the key point is, it's a reversal pattern. And what is it reversing? It's showing you that an uptrend is now reversing into a downtrend, and which can inform your sort of trading direction in the market.
Okay, fantastic. And then if you use it on an inverse basis, it's telling you the opposite thing, right? You're basically flipping it on its x-axis and then looking for that pattern in reverse.
Yeah, so again, it's still acting as a reversal pattern. So that shape, that head and shoulders shape, is showing us that a market that's moving in a downtrend, a series of lower highs and lower lows, has now started to change direction, started to make higher highs and higher lows. So moving from a downtrend into a new uptrend. So again, if you were short into the market and you saw this inverse head and shoulders, which is that pattern upside down, you might consider looking at exiting some positions. And, you know, when we break above that neckline or that key resistance point, we might consider taking new long positions within that market in line with the new trend which is developing.
And then just a general question around these trading strategies, and it's something that I've learned from you and from this show, which I've started to apply even when I'm doing normal equities now, you know, non-CFD type stuff, because it's really, really helpful, is, you know, to what extent do you wait for confirmation instead of trying to be a hero and trying to be a little bit early? You know, to what extent do you wait for confirmation that something is playing out before you actually have a go? Because I think that's something traders are quite good at. They're not trying to always get 100% of a move. They're just happy to get a piece of a move and to nail that more often than not. And then your win ratio is great.
Yeah, so I think you've got to have a defined set of rules and criteria for your trading, especially in the short-term game. So for me, it's something as simple as, you know, you have a lot of intraday activity. The price will might, let's say you were waiting for a breakout, you know, a market moving above a key level. It might, you know, go up and down and up and down through that level, but I like to see it settle there. So I'll wait for a close. It might be different for different people, but I think whatever, you need to be consistent in what you're doing, rather than preempting your signals, because sometimes your signal that you're waiting for doesn't actually confirm. And so you're actually just trading on a hunch, you're trading with your gut. So you need to set out some mechanical rules with your trading, when to get in. What are your confirmations? For me, it's, you know, if I'm looking at key price levels, it's a close above. So I'd like to see the price settle above a particular level if I'm looking for a long, or settle below a certain level if I'm looking for a short. Maybe if I'm looking at stocks, I'd like to see strong volume accompanying that breakout, showing that there's a lot of momentum, a lot of interest in that directional move, a lot of momentum to that directional move. That subject is quite broad, but I think for the listeners, I'd say that just set out definite criteria and try to stick to the rules of those criteria that you place for your trades, rather than preempting what you think might happen. For example, another one would be, is a lot of people like to trade moving average crossovers, and the moving average look like they're going to cross over, and that could be a buy signal. But then they don't actually cross over. So you're actually trading not on a strategy, you're trading on a whim. So set out some rules for yourself would be the advice there.
Yeah, absolutely. Trading is about building a system. That's, I think, been the one consistent piece of feedback that's, you know, really been a feature of these podcasts. So thank you for that. And Sean, I think that brings us to a close on this one. We've done some good stuff here on Forex, obviously highlighted the head and shoulders pattern. And in the show notes, I'll ensure that the links are there. It's really important to actually go see this, you know, with your own eyes. You can't just listen to that and try and understand what that is. The idea of mentioning the technicals on these shows is really just to highlight that these things exist and to point you in the direction to go and actually engage with those examples and charts and the excellent content that gets put out on the IG Markets Academy. So go and check it out. And of course, as we keep saying, go and open your demo account, go and give it a try, see if it's for you. Rather go figure that out with Monopoly money than real money. Go make your mistakes with Monopoly money rather than real money. It's always better to do that. It really is. So Sean, thank you for another great show, I think. And I look forward to welcoming you back for the next one, where we will be dealing with commodities as another example of an asset class that can be traded on the platform, adding to the suite of equities and indices and Forex that we've now done. So thank you. And we'll do this again soon.
Great. Thanks.
In our gorgeously diverse country, there really is a new reason to trade every day. Current affairs to political news can make the markets move and cause volatility, which can be advantageous to a trader. Diversify your portfolio by opening a trading account with IG and explore the possibilities of CFD trading, or practice your trading skills on an IG demo account.